Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. In the news today, unfortunately, the slippery slope that we have been on, boy, over the past 5 years, but especially the last 2 years, is getting much, much worse. Or this news story from CNN, Pinterest bans misinformation about climate change. So they start off banning misinformation about the cerveza sickness, which, I mean, you guys might know of something that they labeled misinformation that actually did not turn out to be true. I don't know of anything right off the top of my head, meaning that pretty much, as far as I know, 100% of the things that they labeled quote-unquote misinformation about the cerveza sickness, 6 months later, that was found to be true. So they don't have a fantastic track record of discerning what is quote-unquote disinformation and what is actually accurate or what is true, which would lead one to believe that they're doing this intentionally. Anything that comes out that is contrary or any dissenting view to their narrative, they just try to sweep it under the rug with this title, this catch-all phrase, whether it's disinformation or misinformation. And then they just use this as an excuse to employ censorship. That's what this is all about. And, you know, they're going to come up with an argument of well, actually, for climate change, I don't think there is an argument. And I'm not saying it's real, fake, man-made, not man-made. That's regardless. I'll get into that in a moment, but I don't think there is a legitimate argument at all. Now, at least for the cerveza sickness, you could say if it was misinformation, that could be impacting health. Now, of course, as we know, these titles actually made people less healthy. They probably caused death. They didn't prevent it. And then we think through, we look at this through the lens of the Great Reset Agenda, which you guys know from watching my videos is very simple. It's really just all about three things. Number one, reducing consumption. Number two would be reducing the birth rate or increasing the death rate. And number three would be usurping power and control. The global elite want a, whatever you want to call it, a world government. They just want to control the laws, the policies in every single country. And they want uniformity. And they want to decide what is right, what is wrong. They want to decide what is put into law. They want to decide what the regulations are. They want to decide who is able to do what, when, where, and how. It's very obvious. I mean, I was listening to Bob Murphy's podcast, which is great, by the way, and he has a 5-part series on Klaus Schwab where he really dives into his book. I think the title is COVID-19, The Great Reset Agenda, or The Great Reset, something like that. And Klaus makes it very, very clear. I mean, explicitly clear. He doesn't beat around the bush that he believes that there should be just a ruling class of people, unelected, whether it's the World Economic Forum, the IMF, the UN, that really tell the politicians what to do and what policies to enact. And they determine who the good guys are. They determine who the bad guys are. They determine who gets money, who doesn't get money. And they do this saying that, well, this is what we need to combat these problems like climate change. We need to do this to eradicate poverty. We need to do this to make sure that, fill in the blank, that poor people have access to healthcare or something, as though there's no way to solve that problem unless you give all the power and control to the global elite. This just goes back to the Club of Rome, goes back to their paper that they came out with in 1972 called The Limits to Growth. This is just the same narrative regurgitated and repackaged over and over and over again. Unfortunately, now what makes this different is back in 1971, when Klaus started the World Economic Forum, it wasn't called that back then, but I can't recall the name, but basically that was the genesis of what we have today. He didn't have much power. He didn't have much sway. He didn't have much influence, I think is the right word, over so many politicians, so many CEOs, so many banksters, so many of the Davos types. But today, it's a much different story. I mean, I was just reading, in fact, one city that I was extremely bullish on, Dubai, they just hosted the most recent World Government Summit. And their keynote speaker, none other than Klaus Schwab. And then you look at, I mean, this guy, you got to give him credit. I mean, my goodness, he influences, I'm not going to say every politician out there or every global leader, but damn near close. And so, you know, what is climate change all about? Well, if you're someone that sees it as a problem, fine, I respect that. But you have to realize the global elite, Klaus, doesn't care about climate change. He doesn't care about the temperature in the ocean. He doesn't care about icebergs, doesn't care about polar bears, doesn't care about any of that stuff. This is just a Trojan horse to get you to consume less. That's what this game is all about. So when you see this misinformation or them banning misinformation, what they're trying to do is just completely eliminate a debate around the specific narrative they're trying to push. I mean, this is how they get to 2030. This is how they get to the Great Reset agenda. This is how they get people to buy into this, because they don't have any other information other than the information they want you to have. It's just like going to a court case, as an example, and only listening to one side. If you only listen to the defendant or the defendant's attorney, you're probably going to come out of that saying, well, yeah, boy, that guy's innocent. Right. But you haven't heard the plaintiff's side. And this is exactly what they're trying to do. And whether it's the Cerveza sickness, whether it's climate change, and I guarantee you, this is just the beginning. I mean, this misinformation, this censorship is going to get worse and worse and worse. And they're going to cast a broader and broader net every single time they can. Every single crisis they get, they're going to use it to implement more and more censorship in the name of keeping you safe, right? So let's get into this article before I get any more frustrated here. First thing that we've got highlighted, we repeatedly hear from climate experts. Okay, again, this is like Cerveza sickness experts. You mean the experts that repeat what you want to hear. You mean the experts that are part of the World Economic Forum. I mean, again, if we want to really find truth, what we do is find experts with different views, and then we would hear them debate each other. It would be the opposite of censorship. It would be, we want more. We want more free speech. We want to hear more people's views, even if those views are something that we completely disagree with. They say, well, how do you prevent from people from being misled? That's open debate. That's why you have it, for heaven's sakes. It's just the things that were so obvious that you didn't really even need to say them when I was growing up are now people are now completely ignorant of. It's just mind-boggling. They go on to say that, I'll repeat this again here, we repeatedly heard from the climate experts that climate misinformation, like climate denial narratives, are causing real harm. What harm? What harm? I mean, let's think about this. Let's just assume that climate change is real, it's man-made, it's all these things. If an average Joe or Jane has a different opinion out there, what harm comes as a result of that? Do they just not buy a Tesla? Do they just, I mean, what actions do they take in their real life that are different from the actions they otherwise would take? I mean, I'm pretty much people are going to live their life. I don't know. I mean, you guys on this live stream, I'm sure you have friends on both sides of the debate. People that believe that climate change is real and man-made, people that believe that it's not real or it's not man-made. How are those two groups of Americans living their life differently as a result of their belief? I would argue that the differences in how they're living are minuscule, other than one person might drive an electric car and one person doesn't. That's it. I mean, so what is the real harm here? The harm is having any information out there that is contrary to their narrative. because then the probability of the Great Reset agenda coming to fruition is reduced. That's the harm. They go on to say social media platforms are increasingly facing scrutiny for their role in the spread of climate change misinformation. In November, more than 200 climate scientists, activists, organizations fighting disinformation signed an open letter to address Facebook, Instagram, Google, Twitter, Pinterest, and Reddit, calling on them to implement climate misinformation policies similar to their robust COVID-19 policies. And I can't even believe that they mentioned this, because this pretty much defeats their entire argument. Because now anyone that's paying attention knows that the source of quote-unquote information or truth, science, that they used back in 2020 and the beginning of 2021, that source has come out and refuted most of what was considered science, quote-unquote, over the past 2 years. So how do they reconcile that when they pretty much everything that they labeled misinformation before, and proof of that is with the Cerveza sickness, now they're saying that, well, we're going to do a much better job. I mean, they're not even addressing the elephant in the room. And again, it's almost, I would argue that it's even worse with climate change, because that is so unknowable, right? I mean, if you really get into the research, I mean, there's a strong argument on both sides. There's no way you can know what truth is definitively with climate. There's just, it's not possible. There's too many variables. And so to sit there and say what is right and what is wrong, you can't do that. And I mean, aside from the free speech issue, aside from the censorship issue, and anyone that agrees with this policy of labeling things misinformation and just, you know, deleting them, any dissenting view that you don't like, I would just ask you, look at history. When have the groups or the people that are in favor of censorship been the good guys? When? That would be never. So why should we assume that the people that are in favor, or the groups, the entities that are in favor of censorship today, are anything but the bad guys once again? I mean, this, again, it's astonishing that people can actually be in favor of this, when even if you believe that this is true, more power to you, but you would want more free speech. You would not want censorship, because you would want these views to get out in the open to where you could respond to them, or we could have an open debate that everyone could watch. I've said this so many times. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. Why are we not setting up debates with these important topics with experts that have different views, put them up on YouTube, and live stream them? Why isn't CNN doing this? Like, why is it that Joe Rogan is the only person that's having one quote-unquote expert on? You know, he's got the guy, was it Sanjay Gupta from CNN, and then he'll have Robert Malone on. Why is it that Rogan is the only person doing this? Why isn't CNN? Why isn't CNBC? Fox, for that matter. Why aren't they having two, going back to the survey sickness? Obviously, there was a group of scientists that had one view and a group of scientists, well-respected, that had a completely different view. So why are we not having these people in an open forum live stream on the internet debate these topics? Same thing with climate change. And I'll tell you why. Because they don't want these topics to be debated in the public forum, because they want the one side completely suppressed. They want it eliminated, because then they're able to manipulate the public far easier. And then the probability of them achieving the Great Reset agenda or whatever it is they want to achieve increases exponentially. That's really what's going on here. And here, at least CNN is willing to admit here. Actually, I should probably read this whole paragraph. Facebook parent Meta, or Beta, has also taken a number of steps to address climate change misinformation, including applying information labels to posts about climate change, relying on third-party fact checkers, and we know they're always right, to label false claims. I mean, you got $20 an hour kids there that know nothing, obviously have gone up or been brought up through college, which is extremely, let's just say, progressive, to call it mildly. And, they're not fact checkers. They're just simply propagandists. It's just so obvious. And promoting reliable information through its Climate Science Center. So they're just going to one group and saying, what is truth? Just like going straight to Fauci and saying, what is truth? And then whatever comes from them is not debatable at all. And anything else is labeled misinformation, and you're not allowed to see that. As a grown adult, it's too dangerous for you to even read or listen to or view on YouTube. They go on to say, however, it has so far resisted calls to remove climate misinformation altogether, and internal documents have raised questions about the effectiveness of its clients' Climate Science Center. So at least there's internal documents saying, hey, wait a minute, what if the Climate Science Center is wrong? What if Voldemort is wrong? And I mean, at least they're having these internal documents, which I think this should be the first thing that comes to people's mind, is that, wait a minute, all the quote unquote experts have been wrong for the last 2 years. So how do we know that the quote unquote experts aren't wrong again, if we completely silence anyone that disagrees with them? Think about this. If they were able to completely silence everyone that had a dissenting view about the cerveza sickness, we would still be in lockdowns, for heaven's sakes. We would still have the passports. We would have the medicine mandates. We would have absolutely everything. In fact, we'd probably be on our, who knows, 20th booster by now. But fortunately, we weren't at that point where people could have a dissenting view. And then we could see that the people with that dissenting view were correct 90% of the time, to where the average Joe and Jane, hopefully, can see through the nonsense that they're trying to push again. And hopefully this kind of triggers a response where they're thinking, wait a minute, all those misinformation hysterics were wrong before. Why should I believe them now? But you see, this is the global elite are sitting there trying to think, okay, we have been proven wrong. We look like idiots. What can we do to save face? And what can we do to squash this dissenting view moving forward? That's really the game here they're trying to play. And you can see this happen over and over and over, because every single thing that's come out that's made them look foolish, they've had to have a rebuttal for. So whether it's, I guess I can say it now, ivermectin. Well, sure enough, a study comes out showing that, of course, that it isn't effective. Or, masks, of course, they have to have a study that comes out that says that it is effective, although the CDC said that they really weren't effective. It's just whatever has come out in the media and gained traction that is counter to their narrative, you'll notice within 2 or 3 weeks, they have to have some sort of study or big article saying that, oh, no, that's not true, right? It just goes to show you that they're not on the side of truth, or else they wouldn't have to have all these rebuttals after something comes to the surface that makes themselves look, that makes them look foolish or is counter to their overall narrative. Twitter has also said it will pre-bunk climate misinformation by pointing users to accurate sources. Who determines who the accurate sources are? And this is the whole point. And honestly, why, look at what they're, this is just the whole central planner, eugenicist type of mentality. And I'm not being hyperbolic there. Because look at, let's just assume for a moment that their intentions are good. What they're saying is that you as an adult are too feeble. You're too mentally and emotionally feeble to hear all of the information that's on the internet. Therefore, we, the smart people, the people who are maybe genetically superior, need to censor all of this information because you're too stupid to figure out what's right and wrong. That's the message here. So again, let's think about this. The people with a worldview that there is a small group that is that are superior and there's another group that is inferior. Throughout history, have they been the good guys or the bad guys? Especially in the 20th century. See, they're always the bad guys. And listen, they are the bad guys once again. Even if their intentions are good, they're putting us on the road to serfdom, to say the least. They're taking us further and further and further down this slippery slope that leads to totalitarianism. End of story. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and free speech. The measurement of free speech is not in you agreeing that people should be able to speak freely as long as they agree with you. The measurement of free speech is allowing everyone to speak, even if those people disagree with you, but taking it to the next step, the true measurement of free speech is when you're allowing people to speak that are saying things that you find deplorable. And we need to always remember that. That's what the United States used to be about. But obviously we've gone the complete opposite direction and we need to take back the reins as fellow rebel capitalists. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next video.